Mark Lieberman, founder of Ming's Chocolate Cafe in Vancouver, decided to make a special drink. Hot chocolate with whipped cream and crickets on top. With the exception of a few people, the girl who screamed at the beginning, reception for the drink was quite good.
As it happened, it turned out to be very popular, and what I thought was a month-long supply of crickets actually lasted me about 5 days.
In fact, he had to reorder the little buggers twice. And most people ate all the crickets.
For the most part, they were consumed. And after the festival ended, we were still getting requests for it for weeks. People were coming in expecting it to be a regular part of the menu.
The cricket drink, served during a month-long chocolate festival, may have been a novelty for some. But after hearing Mark's story, I wonder if people would have been as adventurous 5 years ago. Now back to the Bug Chef. So do you feel Western consumers are ready for insects?
I don't think they're as ready as we'd like them to be yet. It's not enough to say that people eat this is good for the planet. If it tastes like cardboard, no one wants it. But if you can actually, I think what we need to do is start recruiting good chefs to show that insects can be prepared in ways that are really delicious. And it's about education so that they understand that insects are groovy and that eating them is okay too. Well, probably one of the big breakthroughs is cricket flour. Now there are several companies in Canada and the United States that make cricket flour. And you know, because a part of it is our own aversion to eating bugs, not seeing them is a lot better for most people. Even having said that though, sometimes I'll go with cricket energy bars to give a talk. They look exactly like a regular over-the-counter energy bar, but they're made with cricket flour. And I've had people go, I can't eat those because I know it's good for me, but I also can't deal with the bugs. That's why I think a lot of it's about education and getting over our attitudes about bugs.
Kids are usually pretty eager to eat bugs, and they're the Bug Chef's favorite audience.
Again, one time I was doing a cooking demonstration, and I was making crickets in orzo pasta, and I had one kid who just kept coming back for more and more. He was having fits, and he was very excited about it. And I said to him, "You again?" I said to him, "Don't they feed you at home?" And he said, "This is way better than anything my mom ever made."
Adults might take a bit more convincing, though. While it might take a while, attitudes have changed in the past. Foods which were once considered gross are now delicacies. Sushi is a recent example, and there's also lobster.
Yes. When the first settlers in the New World landed, there were lobsters all over the place, and they were disgusted by them.
Yes.
So they would use them as fertilizer in their farm fields, plow them into the soil.
Wow.
And then even into the 1920s and I think 30s, in the United States, they would serve prisoners lobsters. That's sort of like punishment.
Yeah.
And then someone started marketing this as a very gourmet food, and it took off.
It.
Now you have to pay like $50 for lobster.
Lobsters are arthropods and insects are arthropods, and as one colleague once pointed out to me, you know, people pay prime dollar for crab, and what does a crab eat? You know, it eats decomposing sailors at the bottom of the ocean. They're basically scavengers. You know, a grasshopper is out there feeding on, you know, fresh green vegetation, and so if you are what you eat, you know, a crab is pretty disgusting in a lot of ways. You know, the advantage of a well-prepared insect is, as opposed to maybe a lobster to a certain extent, is, you know, a lobster tail is pretty inoffensive. Put a whole lobster on the plate and all you got are these legs and antennae and everything. And so that's why I think presentation is going to be important with the insect, so that people don't perceive these associated features that they find repulsive or even fear-generating.
As Westerners get over their psychological barriers and warm up to the idea, it seems like presentation and education are big factors in changing attitudes.
I always, since I was young, fantasized about creating a school that was
very much outdoors and nature-based, where kids were actually learning to build houses and learning how to grow food and design solar panels, and rather than sitting at a desk regurgitating information, you know, the typical system.
My piece was inspired by my neighborhood. I live along Commercial Drive in Vancouver. The neighborhood is often referred to as Grandview Woodland. It is known for its
eclectic, funky, alternative scene going on.
Whenever I tell people where I live, I often get the reaction, "What a funky neighborhood. It seems like it has a real community vibe." So I wanted to explore what makes my neighborhood seem that way, while also trying to learn more about where I live. I set out to find a project in my neighborhood that invites people in, challenges people's notions of public space, and addresses social concerns that the community cares about. This led me to the Transformed Life Garden, where sustainable food, community engagement, and youth empowerment intersect. It is located on the Britannia Secondary School property that is connected to the Grandview Woodland Community Center and the Britannia Elementary School. A mouthful, I know. The person who dreamed up this garden space? That's Ian Marcus, who founded and continues to manage the Transformed Life Garden space. And just a note, the individual's dream you heard at the beginning of this podcast, that was Ian's dream.
Where do we begin? So my name is Ian Marcuse. Well, I'm a longtime resident of Grandview Woodlands. I've lived here for about 27 years, so I call it home. And I have the privilege of working at the community center here at Britannia. I call myself a community food developer, and I focus more specifically on food access and food equity.
Ian focuses more on youth with his work because the community center is so close to the schools. So this led Ian to wonder about the possibility of creating a growing space on the Britannia Secondary School property.
And the school was, it's pretty barren of, I mean, it has grass, it's got a school sports field, and of course they have their ornamental trees that line the pathways, but there's very little interesting natural spaces. Really, there was virtually none.
So Ian did what most people would do if they wanted answers from a school. He went straight to the principal's office.
Here was this space that was empty, unused, perfect space for a garden. So I asked the principal, can we do it? She goes, absolutely. What do you need? Well, how can we help? Let's do it. Just kind of took off from there.
A unique feature of this garden is the high level of involvement and consultation necessary for planning new garden projects. Even before the garden was created, there was a big emphasis put on imagining how the space can be used by different types of people. Ian especially wanted to create the space with the youth, not just for the youth. So the youth were a part of the process from the beginning. From
a year-long design process before the garden was actually built.
To raking in the soil beds.
They really weren't into it. They were just like, ooh, this is too much work.
To even naming the garden.
And the kids came up with the name in thinking about how the space is transformed, how it used to be a empty, unused space, and how it transformed into a beautiful garden. It's called Nuch Heis Weth Chai Nuch, which means transforming life, which is actually a very powerful name in the Coast Salish language.
Ian really emphasized that when the youth create the ideas and do the work, they feel a real sense of ownership and pride, and want to share it with others.
My name is Mary Igman. I am in grade 11 at Britannia Secondary.
Mary is one of those exciting high school students that likes going to school and likes to be a part of the community. She's a mix of quirky, smart, and unbelievably sweet. I was curious to see how a high school student would describe their school, so I asked her to describe it in three words.
Awesome, community-minded, that's with a hyphen, and friendly.
Mary told me about what used to be in the area where the garden is now.
It was just a sand pit where we would use it for like a month of the school year. We would use it to practice shot put for track and field.
She has been involved with the Transformed Life Garden for 2 years now. She joined the garden club and did a summer gardening internship called
Sustainable Opportunities for Youth Leadership.
She finds joy in sharing the garden bounty with friends and family.
I told them that there were berries there in the summer, and they were really excited.
And really thinks the garden is having a positive impact on her community.
I think people really like it. Like, I see people hanging out there, and when I tell my friends about the different plants there are, they get excited.
What makes this garden special is the number of people and organizations that have contributed to it. There are many stakeholders: the Britannia Community Center, the surrounding schools, Grandview Woodland Community, and other Vancouver organizations like Street Front Alternative, the Environmental Youth Alliance, and Evergreen. As a result, Ian and company look to make this space inviting for all.
Bringing an arts focus into a planning process or a design process is just a really great way to engage people in creatively and hopefully to bring different people into the process, because everyone's an artist in some form or other.
This has been an interesting goal for the garden, because in order to make people care, it needs to meet the community needs. So understanding the needs in the community is a crucial step. They've had successes and challenges with this.
So my name is Liz George, and I'm a project coordinator at Evergreen Brickworks. Evergreen's a national organization focused on sustainability in cities.
Liz works for the Evergreen organization in Toronto. She was brought to Vancouver last minute to work on a project as a replacement for the project coordinator.
I was sort of brought in as like a, hey, is this possible? And I was like, yeah, I think we can do it. So I wound up actually flying over there for 3 weeks to do a two-week project. So once we connected with Ian, we were just trying to find ways that it would actually be a benefit to both the garden and that community, and how we can kind of make more of a connection with interpreting what the space is used for.
Although Liz is not from the area, she recognized the importance of understanding the area and finding out what the space really needs.
So our themes that we were given were that they needed wayfinding to happen. They needed some sort of visual presence, like a marker almost of, hey, you've arrived. And they also needed just very practically like seating. We actually addressed all three of those things with our project. We had a lot of people power. We had 15 years.
All right. Hello, Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. You're tuned into 24 Hours of Student Power. I am Ola. I am the sports broadcast coordinator here at CITR, and I am here with Jenna. And Jenna, tell me about yourself. What do you do? Where are you from?
I like you're on a first
date. Life story, yeah.
Just kidding, Ola. So I'm from AMS Events, which I hope lots of people have heard about. So we put on Welcome Back Barbecue every year and AMS Block Party, as well as First Week and Frostfest, which is what I'm here mostly to talk about.
Frostfest?
Frostfest.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Is that a non-denominational Christmas party, something like that?
It's a welcome week in January. So we decided last year was the first time we introduced it. We decided to make a AMS First Week take two. So welcome everyone back to school in January, and also welcome all the people that haven't been here for the first semester and give them a really good introduction to what the AMS is about.
So it's like a mid-semester welcome back barbecue.
Sort of, yeah. So yeah. We have different events. So I'm not sure if you came last year to July Talk. Were you at that show?
I don't know. Which one is July Talks? there are a lot of events. That's why I'm like not sure. July Talk was the one they had like a bunch of artists, right?
July Talk was a band that came in January last year.
To the gallery, right?
To the pit.
The pit?
The old pit, yeah.
Okay, the old pit, yeah.
Nice try, though. I think, for effort.
A plus for effort. Cool. And what was that for? Was that to like raise awareness or something? Or
no, it's just kind of similar to AMS First Week. We just want to give students a lot of programming in January, like lots of fun things to do in the first week of school before it gets super crazy and exams roll in, and then everyone's pretty.
So July Talk was Frostfest. Was for Frostfest.
July Talk, yeah, the band came in for Frostfest.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. So you're tuned into 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Olamide Olanion, this is CITR 101.9 FM. We are going to play some music from Jenna, and
we are.
Yeah. I mean, you said you wanted to play some grime.
I do want to play some British rap.
So, we're just gonna like give you a feel of that before we come back, and
We're actually gonna put some grime music on right
now.
I
just want to like be able to have a fun time on the show rather than just like just you telling me about your amazing club. And I know all about your amazing club. No worries. I want to hear about it, but, like, I mean, I don't want it to be the only thing I hear about, right? So,
what else do you want to hear about?
Yeah, so do you have it ready?
Sure.
Okay, and let's go. All right, guys, what song is it, Jenna?
Oh, this is Ace Hood Flow by Skepta.
Okay, cool. Ace Hood Flow by Skepta, and yeah, bye.
One, the Chronicles of David Beckham. The highlights and lowlights of one of the UK's most legendary football players. But up next, The Honeymoon, starring UK MC Skepta. This film contains graphic scenes of nudity, drugs and violence. Please switch off now if you feel you're going to be offended. Listener's discretion is advised.
I've been keeping my ear to the streets. The UK run out of ideas. Everybody doing covers of American beats. If it's not the Ace Hood Hustle Hard Flow, then it all sounds like Rick Ross to me. This is the shit I'm supposed to respect. Fuck that nigga SMD. P-A-U-S to the E. Don't know who you're pretending to be. I don't care what gun you bang. I don't care what drug you sell. Fuck you, man. Because I got a manager, a DJ, 7 MCs and 5 producers on my label. So before you start eating food in the game, better bring something to the table. Too many man come in the game for 2 minutes. Shoot 2 videos, spit 2 lyrics. Now all of a sudden the name's getting mentioned in the same sentence as mine by the critics. What has this world come to? Man better control said than undo. But all thanks to the love and support, I'm gassed up standing out the sunroof. And I'm screaming BBK, BBK. None of them flex like BBK. And if I ever see your girl on the street, then I'ma get arrested for TDA. But she knows I do it and it's real. And I don't give a shit who's got a deal. Cause if the game was a tray full of ice cubes, I'm the coldest and the hardest still. They thought that all over the house video would crush me. Last week I did 5 shows in 5 different countries. The supporters have still got love for me. Middle finger to the media. Hypocrites can't touch me. I'll be in Dubai, eating in Nobu. Word to Dummy and Tea, this food tastes lovely. I walk from White Hart Lane to the flats opposite Tottenham Police Station. Paid subs to go on the radio station. Left radio, jumped on a train to Leytonstone. Link Merkel man to make some more grime in the basement. Let me show you back dedication. Suffering from underdog psychosis, trying to stay alive. Riding around on a bike. Blade long enough to go to jail for. More dots on me than a dice. The olders had the chips and the Big Macs, but didn't want to let me have a bite. So it was just me, my cats and the foxes roaming the streets at night. Felt like I was wasting life. Put down the cling film and picked up the mic. For 1 whole year, never got music money or money off white. But I know that Rome weren't built in a day. Looked to the end of the tunnel and saw a light. Now me and JME top 30 back to back on the iTunes site. Men. Too many man come in the game for 2 minutes. Shoot 2 videos, spit 2 lyrics. Now all of a sudden the name's getting mentioned in the same sentence as mine by the critics. What has this world come to? Man better control said than undo. But all thanks to the love and support, I'm gassed up standing out the sunroof. And I'm screaming BBK, BBK. None of them flex like BBK. And if I ever see your girl on the street, then I'ma get arrested for TDA. But she knows I do it and it's real. And I don't give a shit who's got a deal. Cause if the game was a tray full of ice cubes, I'm the coldest and the hardest still.
All right, and we're back, Vancouver. This is CITR 101.9 FM coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. You're listening to 24 Hours of Student Power. I am your host for the hour, Ola, and I am here with Jenna and friends.
Don't ask about the friends.
the friends are unavailable, but we'll be with Jenna today, and she'll tell us more about what she does at AMS events and like the major thing she does with AMS events. I don't know. So you've talked about Frost Week. Do you want like give more about like just the role that you do and like what your mandate is as AMS events?
Sure. Mandate.
Like what's like okay, what are you under? What like just give me like a brief review, history, background,
history.
Evolutionary history, all
I
that stuff.
Know.
I mean I don't know. I don't know how like for people that haven't that don't even know that AMS events exist, right? Like how would you like if you're supposed to tell a story to them, how would you start?
It would start with block party. because that's what everyone seems to know about, but they don't know where it comes from or who puts it on. They just, like, this party pops up at the end of the year and they're like, oh, the block party. But that is all us. We have a little department. There is...
Where's your office?
Just, oh God, should I be saying this on the radio?
Then just go for it, nice.
It's room 35.
Actually, you shouldn't say that on the radio.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
In case someone like hates block party and like comes to like, you know, complain
trashes
the entire time. Yeah,
yeah, let's not give away too much locational information. But we are based in the Nest, so we're one of the, we're not technically an AMS service, but we kind of run on our own department, which is pretty cool. And yeah, basically our mandate is to improve the quality of student life at UBC. We try and put on as many events as we can and also try and do a lot of diverse events. We work with CITR a lot. For example, next semester we have Last Band Standing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah? I remember that, yeah. Yeah, actually,
it was an emotional roller coaster.
I think I was involved with that, but like I know about like Last Band Standing from like last year.
Yeah, it's a super awesome event. Yeah. So yeah, applications will open for that in January. But yeah, it's just competitions are difficult, hey?
Yeah,
like you want everyone to win, and then one person
wins. My favorite band
didn't
win, but I mean I'm okay.
Can I ask you who your favorite band was?
I had two favorite bands. I had the
Lady Jams.
Lady Jams, yeah. And I had what's
Melt, maybe?
No, it wasn't. I like Melt, but like I liked the Rohit. Do you know Rohit? Rohit's band?
Oh yeah, of course. Class Act.
Class Act, that's what it is. Yeah, and I also liked I think Nick and Tom. I liked their Collect Call. You know, like basically those are like all the groups I like wanted to like vote for, right? But like
totally.
I do agree that the bands that did win, like, they kind of deserved it, so...
I think they could have all been deserving winners. Like, everyone was so good. We have such amazing musical talent here at UBC, and it's really great to have the opportunity to showcase that. Last Band Standing's a pretty cool event, and that's what we get to do, so I definitely encourage people to get involved and apply in January, and if you're not in a band, start a band. You have the Christmas holidays to do so.
Could you tell them the rewards and the things that they expect.
You get to play at block party.
Oh, guys, that means you should start applying now because, you know, like...
It's a pretty cool gig.
Yeah, everybody knows about you by the time you, like, perform.
After you've played,
after you've played. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, and there's also some other really great things that come with Last Band Standing. So you get, like, studio time and you get, a professional video recorded. And there's just lots of... It's a really cool competition, although I don't really particularly like competitions because I want everyone to win.
Yeah, everybody gets a blue ribbon. Yeah,
that'd be great. Just you're all winners. Everyone that turned up got a win. You didn't even make a. That's okay. You can win too. Everyone wins. I wish like school was like that too.
I know, right?
Like everyone got an A.
It's like credits. Take the credits. Just go. You all get a job. Go.
You all get
money.
A's.
Oh.
You
Six
all
figures.
Tried your best. Can you imagine if school was based on like effort instead of grades? Like it was like, oh, well, you put in lots of hours, so even though your work sucked, like you can still get an A because you.
I would go to like college for the rest of my life. Then that's what it means.
Because
like,
you love working hard.
Because I want to get credit for like not working that much.
But like if you worked hard, right? So like if you put a lot of effort into something and then you still didn't do well in it, then.
Okay, I got you. So like so far you put the work into it, like they will still give you enough credit for it, but like you also kind of have to work hard and like kind of get it right as well.
I don't know, it's just hypothetical. It would be pretty cool to just like not be examined ever.
So what's next on the talk agenda, Jenna?
Oh, I thought you had this all planned out.
I thought I had it all planned out as well, but like...
what are you doing to me?
My brain just like switched off for a bit, so yeah.
Being
around friends, it's like...
Do you need some coffee?
I do need some coffee. I just woke up like 3 hours ago.
3 hours ago is a pretty long time to wake up.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I say I woke up, I mean like I woke up and then slept again, and then like...
Right,
like
so your
times.
Alarm went off for
exactly,
the first time.
Exactly.
But you actually just rolled in here 24 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Beautiful.
So one of the other things that the AMS is doing, I know that a lot of groups on campus are planning something for the kind of like last day of classes, like this week?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Polar bear swim.
It's happening quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah, so at the AMS, like, we are trying to activate the NEST space on Friday. So we're doing an event called Festivus. And it's basically, we're going to have like an ugly sweater photo booth, like awkward family photos, and we're going to have gingerbread house making, potentially.
Oh my God.
And mistletoe.
Oh my God.
And just like Christmassy happiness. But not just Christmassy stuff, lots of different. We're celebrating all the different festivals and different celebrations that are happening this time of year.
Non-denominational, guys.
Exactly. Yes. We're trying to stay, well, we're not trying to. We are doing that because there's so many awesome groups on campus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've come up with some really cool ideas to just basically celebrate the last day of the semester. So that's exciting.
Yeah, you're singing that. This final is like right after that.
I know. It's like a catch 20. Is it catch 21 or catch 22?
22.
So there's no such thing as a catch 21.
I have no idea. Maybe there is. Maybe we can search it up. I don't know.
There's you know, Blink 182.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking about as well. Yeah, but like
one time I was hanging out with this guy and he really really likes Blink 182.
182. Oh, it's Blink 182. Mark Hoppus, and a bunch of guys.
I was like, oh yeah, like Blink 181 are awesome, and he's like, oh my God, like what? But it's an easy number to get confused.
Yeah, no. Well, 1 and 2 are like very easy to get confused. Totally.
And it's just, I don't know, like Blink 181 sounds kind of cool.
181 sounds better than 182. I don't know. 182 just sounds weird, you know.
Like 181 like rolls off of the tongue, whereas like 182. It's like a little bit more difficult.
Maybe that's the point. I don't know.
Supposed
to be provocative, you know?
I don't know. But Blink 182 obviously are an amazing band. But every time I go to say their name, I want to just like, Blink 181! It's not very, very good.
So I'm going to play some music.
What kind of music are you going to play, Ola?
I mean, we have Humans from their Noontide album. I've listened to that a bit, but I've not listened to this album at all. You can look at the album.
Humans are awesome.
Yeah, I think they're like a Montreal band. I think some of their songs are even in French or something. And then the other song I was thinking of playing, but like after the show. Not after the show, but like way later in the show.
What was that?
Is a Purity Ring from their album Another Eternity. You probably know them from like they were like top of like the Earshot charts for like a while. So Purity Ring with Flood on the Floor and Humans with Tell Me. So we're just gonna play Tell Me from Humans Noontide album, and we'll come right back and give you some more info about Jen and Friends and the EMS events.
All right. Friends sit on here.
Bye.
Tell me where you go. Yeah.
Listen up. Did you hear? CITR is putting on a full day of content dedicated to students. December 2nd is 24 hours of student power. Clubs, bands, radio, oh my! CITR constantly works to promote underrepresented voices in media. And for one day a year, we dedicate an entire day to focus on students. That means student hosts, clubs, initiatives, artists, and more. Featuring three student bands from 6 to 9 p.m. Melt, Cheap Flavor, and Stefana Fertilla. Listen up this December 2nd at 101.9 FM or at CITR.ca.
Timeless Media Incorporated presents Time Bomb, performing on December 10th at the Fortune Sound Club to promote his new album, Chuch. Time Bomb's explosive introduction into the music scene will be underway at one of Vancouver's most electrifying hip-hop shows ever, with guest performances from Waka Flocka Brick Squad's own YG Hootie, Larry June, SD from Chief Keef's GBE, and Ill Chris. This will be a night to remember. Doors open at 9 p.m. The show is 19+, and tickets are available online at fortunesoundclub.com.
So sad.
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
1, 2, 3!
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary. Basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
Well, how do you like it?
There's only one word for it. Terrific.
You know, I'm so proud of it. It's almost indecent.
Become a part of a movement to think beyond conventional boundaries. The third annual AUS Humanities and Social Sciences Conference, happening on January 16th, invites all undergraduate students to submit their research related to this year's theme of innovation. At this year's conference, you will be inspired by your fellow students' presentations and ideas. Applications are being accepted until December 16th. For more information, please visit the events on the AUS Facebook page.
Been often referenced as a society where women feel markedly unsafe, then Western civilization as we know it is doomed to fall.
Dystopia Dreaming, a one-night experimental cyberfeminist project. Featuring performance artworks by Lindsay Starbird, Natalia Wilhelm, and Miki Aurora. Electronic music featuring DJs Miss Cosmic, Brontron, Ragnarth K, and Little Fire One. Bringing you D&B, Lush Texture Electronic, Bass, and more. Lastly, a cyberfeminist ritual. This rite, which will be one part Fluxus-inspired happening, one part cyber shamanism, will be designed to facilitate a collective catharsis for our cultural wound of widespread misogyny. The ritual will be available to those who reserve a place in advance to dystopiadreaming@gmail.com and will begin at 9 p.m. At 10 p.m., doors will be opened to the general public and the DJ sets will begin. Find us on Facebook by searching up Dystopia Dreaming or lock in your advance tickets at dystopiadreaming.eventbrite.com. The dress code is post-apocalyptic. Within the desecrated ruins of antiquated, hegemonic systems of thought, the seeds for a future free of subjugation begin to take root.
Hey And we're back. This is CITR 101.9 FM. We're coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. We are streaming live from the University of British Columbia. And this is 24 Hours of Student Power, CITR 101.9 student initiative programming. And yeah, we're here to just give you 24 straight hours of student hosts, student programmers, student people with clubs and initiatives, just generally cool students all around campus doing cool stuff. I am Ola. I am your host for today. For the next 30 minutes. And I am here with Jenna and friends. Jenna and friends. Is and friends your last name?
Aren't you funny?
I'm so funny. I'm a hoot.
You're just a hoot.
Yeah, Jenna here is the coordinator at AMS events. So she's been in charge of, if you guys were here before, she's been in charge of all the like big things. She's been in charge of Block Party. I mean, that's the first thing everybody says. Yeah, I mean, not in charge, but she's helped facilitate big events on campus. A lot of the big events you've probably heard of, she and her team have probably been involved with that.
Yeah.
That's fair to say. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, things from Block Party to Welcome Back Barbecue. By the way, I really enjoyed having Cashmere Cat.
Yeah? He's cool. Did you like Dragonette as well?
I had never heard of them before, but I did like them. Yeah. Yeah. So like, it's I think that's the thing about Block Party and like, the Welcome Back barbecues is like, you know, you're supposed to learn about new guys. So I mean cool. That's the reason why we have like people from being the last band standing there, right? So you can like, you know, the music scene becomes more diverse. So Jenna, tell us why you got involved in the events in the first place, and what motivated you, just start from like first year UBC, you know, just like just tell us your story. Brag to me, what is your story? What brought you on this road to event scene?
It was actually CITR is the reason that I got involved in events. So I used to hang out at CITR and I was the outreach coordinator then. And from that, I applied to AMS and thought the events coordinator position looked an absolute hoot. And it has been ever since. I think the events department, we've worked really, really hard to grow it as much as possible over the past year and a half and really create a group of people that are passionate about changing things on campus and passionate about making events happen and basically just like improving student life as much as possible.
Yeah. When you got here, how was the student life? Did you see something that you felt needed to be changed about like student life?
I think
deplorable?
I think there's a lot of groups to be involved in at UBC. I think that's been the case for a long time. And but I found that the overall like liveliness wasn't what I expected, I think. But I think that's a lot to do with the fact that you have exams and so many midterms. And I think I was a bit overwhelmed by all of those. Yeah. So I think that's why it settles down quite a lot. But there's some really amazing groups on campus. And when I had the opportunity to become involved with AMS events, I just wanted to make that department kind of like stand out on campus as well, and people to know that like essentially we like we're part of the student society, and our mandate is to just improve like the quality of everyone's lives. So when I had the opportunity to get involved in that, I was just gung-ho about trying to bring in new programming and create a bigger team and really work with as many people as I could on campus to do something awesome. And there's an amazing team at AMS events
New programming have you helped to initiate?
I think one of the bigger ones would be Frostfest, because it's like a full week of programming. It was definitely a really fun thing to work on last year. And it's really great because people come back from school and it's kind of you're in that mellow stage where you're like, like you kind of forget like exams are going to happen and you're like pretty well rested from the break. So you're in a pretty chill zone. So I think that Frostfest is a really awesome one to highlight, especially because it's coming up next semester.
Yeah, and you got July Talks. Speaking about July Talks, will you tell us more about
them as a band? They are also
Of course they're a great band, of course. But could you talk a little bit about how it is that you get such good bands to come to I mean, lowly University of British Columbia. I mean, how do you what do you use to entice them? How do you organize those? You know,
we generally send them love letters. It works the best.
Romantic. Just like you send candles as well.
Yeah, handwritten love letters with chocolates to the managers of bands. And then just hope for the best response.
So, are you going to send like a mixtape to Drake?
We'll send him a letter as well. Handwritten, of course. I think that's the only way that people manage to secure talent anymore is the simple things in life.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. it's a really cool process, actually. It's mostly just talking to agents and seeing who's coming through Vancouver at the time, especially a lot of bands that are touring or have North American tours or Canadian tours, and then trying to connect with them when they're coming through Vancouver to come to UBC and do a show.
So they don't come to Vancouver just for the show? Like
just
they're already coming by Vancouver.
A lot of like routing is pretty common in the like entertainment industry, so it's
routing?
Like routing.
Guys, I'm in with the events lingo, guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We just have an events on it. But that's when like a band or an artist is already making their journey around a certain area, so then you have the opportunity to like pick them up and then not pick them up like, oh, I'm gonna pick you up. more so kind of secure that band or artist so that they can come and do a show, and then it's a lot more affordable for everyone involved because they're doing a lot of shows in a similar area.
Yeah.
Rather than like paying to fly someone out from the UK just for one show.
Yeah. Oops. Oh. And that was a Starbucks cup. Empty, but
I know.
A Starbucks cup. Sacrilege, Jenna. You're not supposed to drop that. we just talked about routing and bands and getting bands to come to our universities. So Jenna, could you tell us about like a case where you wanted to get a band? They were rowdy, maybe, and like they're a favorite band of yours, but like they like completely blew you off, and like, you know, I don't know, like
they didn't reply to the love letters.
I mean,
I'm not sure if I can. I'm not sure if that's like a specific example, but I think it's definitely. We try our best to like bring bands and bring artists that the students want, but obviously that's not always possible. So as you've probably seen with this
Drake.
Yeah. I knew you were gonna say it. Damn it.
Drake for Block Party, #.
Yeah, that's what everyone's doing. But obviously an example like that is really key because there are a lot of students here that obviously love Drake. I'm one of them. And it would be really great to see someone like that come here. But then a lot of the time it's not really as easy as 1-2-3.
Yeah,
He's a very expensive act. And so...
How much is he, actually?
600,000? It's
000?
Definitely in the 6 or 7 figures.
Damn.
So it's a lot of money. And then we have to kind of, like, one of the biggest things with, like, running events at UBC, especially when we're bringing in talent, is managing student expectations because, obviously, it would be great to have Drake and Beyonce and all of these
huge acts. But you can't just have,
But it's not, it doesn't work as easy as that. So it's definitely, we really like to, like, let students know that we want, we love student feedback. Like, as much as we can get, we try and base of, just hiccuping.
That's a little bit of a falsetto right there.
Yeah, you know, I'm about to say. we definitely try and bring the acts that we can bring and listen to as much student feedback as we can. Just last year, we've started a 30-person volunteer team for AMS events, which is a really cool addition to the department.
That's pretty big, 30 team.
Yeah, there's some amazing, wonderful, they're all amazing and wonderful people on this, but it means...
Shout out to anyone.
Shout out to everyone on the team because they are really, really great. There's honestly, like, the department, I really appreciate having everyone there. Like, the whole department just is a really great team to work with. And we found, like, the bigger the team gets, the more feedback we get and the more opportunities we have to hear more students' voices on, like, what music and what things that they want to see happen at UBC because we're definitely in the fortunate position where we have, you know, like we're part of the we are AMS events, so we do have a budget to work with, and we are able to bring in these acts. But having a team behind it and being able to just like hash out like this or this act or let's do this event, I think that really makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
than just like a two or three person team. Yeah. You're like, what eventually do? I don't know, Jenna.
And then like by halfway through like organizing it, you're all crying and like, you know.
Like, yeah, like working with a big team, I think, is like obviously it has its challenges, but the MS Events Department, like, yeah, if anyone wants to get involved, like, it's a really great way of helping to start plan things. And although we're still, like, definitely in a pilot program stage, like, it's still, like, we're testing the waters and figuring out what works best. But it's been a really enjoyable experience being able to have more people involved. And I think that maybe they don't realize how much they're appreciated.
Yeah.
Because they really do add to the team, and it really does allow us to get as much feedback as possible and bring some cool people to UBC. Yeah.
Since you're like heavily involved with the you know planning and organizing process, would you like to give us some exclusive info on who's gonna come for Frostfest?
Ooh.
Or even better,
block party? Drake? No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely kidding. I can't say that on the radio. I'm probably gonna go upstairs and be fired. No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting very no. Let's not go there. No. I think right now like we're still. We're looking into a few different acts, and we encourage anyone that can hear this right now, inbox AMS Events, tell us who you want, tell us who you think will be, could really bring the house down at Frostfest, or even just throughout the year, like,
raise the roof.
Maybe that's better than bring the house down. just in the, knock it all down. Destroy.
I mean, they just build the nest, right? We don't want to, like, mess it up.
What was the phrase used again?
Raise the roof.
Raise the roof sounds so much better. Yeah. So anyone that has some raising the roofy style acts that they think, I don't.
That's all.
my wording's gone from like 100 to 0 real quickly, Ola, and I don't know why. I think it's the coffee.
It's the coffee. Definitely the coffee.
I thought coffee was meant to make you more focused and more like composed, and it's just doing the opposite thing for me. It's not helping on.
Jenna just gave you guys the lowdown on AMS Events. She has like an amazing sticker on her laptop right now. It's like with a lightning sign. Do you know what does that mean?
Yeah, this is our new logo from last year. We rebranded the department, and the lightning thing, it kind of just came out like the AMS graphics department worked on it and made it, and it was like, yeah, that's super cool, like lightning. Yeah.
Is it like a thunderbird? I suppose like epitomize that or something, you know, like I don't
totally.
Maybe, yeah.
Whatever you say, that's very clever. I'm gonna put like a bird underneath this now,
or Twitter and or something. I don't know.
Just like just stick a bird onto my laptop.
Okay,
be like thunder.
I think that works.
Bird.
Sometimes that, like, if you look sideways, that doesn't look like a lightning sign. It looks like a black widow thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't. Know. Can you see that? If you squint your eyes a little bit, it's like.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
We rebranded last year, and yeah, the AMS Events Department, I feel like it's going from strength to strength. There's some really great people on the team, and anyone that wants to get involved or come to our events, check out AMS Events on Facebook, or the AMS website is another really great. That's what I just said.
Jenna has been great today. She started
great or great.
You've been great. I don't know. You've been amazing on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and nice she started off CITR, and we're doing another great thing that showcases student initiatives here at CITR, and it's called 24 Hours of Student Power.
Yeah.
And you guys should just totally listen to it in for the rest of the day, and you hear amazing people like Jenna still talking. Maybe Jenna might like pop by some of the time. I don't know. But,
no, I think there's some amazing groups coming in today.
Yeah,
and
there's like
huge shout
bank.
Out to all you guys for organizing
like,
this.
I mean, I am doing the food bank later. It's
nice.
That's why I mentioned that.
Yeah.
I think up next we have UBC Slam, and
there's a schedule here.
Oh, there's a schedule right there. Okay, we have at 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. we have Elizabeth with UBC Slam and GRSJ USA.
They're an awesome group.
They're amazing. In case you don't know what GRSJ USA means, that's Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice Undergraduate Student Association. Sorry, that was a mouthful. And yeah, we are going to have them in next show. We're going to just play like one more song before we head out, and Jenna and I will come back to say goodbye, and then we'll switch off to the next show. Cool.
Sounds cool.
All right. So we have Pewdering with a song called Flood on the Floor. That's the eighth song on their album called Another Eternity. So stay tuned. Don't go away. If you have no chance to come back, we'll just like go straight into the next show with UBC Slam and GRSJ USA. All right. Enjoy.
Oceans under. She read your mind and called it a terror. Misplacing the sleep to keep the world nearer. Don't forget the way she pushed the water inside. Waded through the spirits like a flood on the floor. Don't forget. Don't forget. Always keeping you.
Alright, Vancouver, this is CITR 101.9 FM coming to you live from unceded Musqueam territory.
Wale just hit himself in the face with a mic. It's okay, it's still
that is embarrassing. It's good that nobody can see me, because that would have been hella embarrassing. Yeah, so this has been 24 Hours of Certain Power, the 10 to 11 segment, right? I think it's 10 to 11?
Yes.
10 to 11. Yeah, that was me with Jenna and friends from AMS Events. And they talked to us about, you know, what AMS Events is all about, you know, who they are, what they do, Block Party, getting Drake to Block Party.
No, don't say that.
But yeah, this is like literally just like the difficulties of bringing high profile artists. What motivated her to start doing AMS events or just events in general. And, you know, her inspiration for bringing some, you know, quality artists to a lowly university like this, right? So, yeah, we thank Jenna for coming by. yeah, she's been great. Do you have anything to say before we head off?
Sure, loads. Just kidding. I wanted to say thank you so much for having AMS Vents on the air. Sorry that my friends couldn't come. They're a little poorly, but that's okay. Yeah, everyone should stay tuned into CITR today because there's some amazing groups. I got to do this a couple of years ago, so... Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, like, first year we all did this. I think me, you, Terry.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of us, like, first year. And that's interesting. Like, we've come a long way.
Ola. And look at us back here, right where we started.
Terrific. I just did, like, a weird thing in case you guys could see that. It's like.
In case you guys could see it.
Could not see that.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's it. We have UBC Slam up next with. GRSJ USA, Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice Undergraduate Student Association. And the host and programmer for that is Elizabeth. So 11 to 12, 24 hours of student power is going to keep going. All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Ola, and this is Jenna. Sorry, we're signing off. Bye.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment. We provide services to folks of all